We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Father, we thank you for this word today. And Lord, I know this word is going to really open eyes. I know this word is going to really help inform us and give us insight into your word when it comes to spiritual matters. And I'm asking God, you just watch over this service, cover this service. And Lord, I pray today that we would learn our authority in you. We would learn today that the devil is defeated because of the finished work at Calvary. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say, you look good. Come on. But today, I want to continue on the series on the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was at Campus Pastors Swap, and I know we had Bobby from Wilson here. Did you enjoy Bobby last Sunday? Fantastic Wilson campus pastor. It's good for you guys to know who's in our family away, because sometimes, you know, when family gets spread out, it's really good to actually bring family together. Well, I want to continue on this teaching, and I want to start just by saying this. After this service, we're going to be having a water baptismal service straight after the service, and Josh and I are going to be getting in the tank. This will be the first time I've actually been in our water baptism tank in years, and the reason is I just want to do one, because we have so many people on the team, and I love the fact that I'm not doing everything. We got so many pastors, but today I got a little greedy, and I said, I want to get in the tank and do some water baptisms. After all, I am the senior pastor, and so I'm looking forward to that. As a number of people who are getting baptized. And I want to say to you, spontaneously, if you have not yet made the decision to be water baptized, I would encourage you to make that decision today. And I thank God my parents baptized me as a little baby. I was, you know, they were in the Catholic Church, and they decided, you know, that as to what they were taught, that they would want their children to be baptized, but their babies rather. And that's a great decision my parents made for me. But I know the Bible says that's a decision I need to make for myself. And so when I was 17, I became a believer in Christ, and I made the decision to get baptized in water. It is as supernatural as anything that happens in the church. Are you hearing me? That moment of going down under the waters of baptism, it says the old man is crucified. We identify with the death of Christ, our death to sins, the death to our past. And when we come up out of the water, we identify with the resurrection life of Christ. When he rose, when we come out of the water, we rise because of what he did. I believe water baptism is a great step toward spiritual maturity. The choice or decision not to be water baptized, I believe, actually stunts your spiritual maturity and your growth. I would encourage anyone and everyone who has not yet been baptized to make the decision. Get baptized today. We've got shorts, we've got t-shirts, we got towels, and so there's no reason why you wouldn't. Amen? So let me show you one verse in the Bible, Acts chapter 8. And here is Philip talking to a eunuch, and the Bible says when Philip came alongside of him, it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 36, as they went on their way, they came to a certain tank, to certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. And actually, it's in the King James, which I don't normally quote from. But it says here, I love this, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, well, if thou believest in thine heart, and it says, thou mayest. And then he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized. I want you to notice, as a consequence of this eunuch who was reading scripture, I don't have time to unpack it all, Philip comes alongside him and says, do you understand what you're reading? And he goes, well, not really. So then Philip leads him to Christ. But in the process of the conversation of salvation was baptism. So much was it part of the conversation that led to salvation that when the eunuch saw water, he said, well, here's some water. Why don't I get baptized now? And Philip baptized him. And it says, when they come out of the water, the Spirit, this is supernatural, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and then the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is a, how many believe the Bible? How many believe that the Bible is true? This is what we would call, the word for this is translocation. This is Star Wars, beam me up, Scotty. God took him supernaturally and moved him somewhere else where he was to go. Dear God, I would love God to translocate me when I'm traveling. Soon I'm going to Israel, and I would love to say, Lord, here I am in Virginia Beach. Translocate me now to Israel so I don't have to do that plane trip, especially wearing the mask for the entire plane trip. Amen. Or going to Australia. Dear God, no jet lag. Imagine that. Wouldn't that be awesome? Okay, so I'm open to that. Lord, anytime you want to do a miracle, translocation, maybe I need to baptize. Maybe after today, doing more baptisms. I might be here and no more. Praise the Lord. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, I'm joking about that. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay right here. All right? But I want to encourage you, if not been water baptized, do it. Amen. Supernatural. Today, I'm going to give you a message on one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and it's actually on discerning of spirits. If you like, another title for it is, let's talk about demonology. Let's talk about the authority we as believers have over the enemy. And the need for this gift, let me tell you something, to be evident in believers. Not just me as the pastor, but every one of us needs the ability to discern spirits, whether this is God, whether this is man, or whether this is the devil. And the Bible says that the God, small g, of this world has blinded people. Another translation puts it this way, has put blinkers on people like you would a horse. Are you hearing me? So that we could not see the light and the marvel and the wonder of who Jesus is. And I think the enemy has done a good job of blinding some people today from the goodness of God. I don't think some Christians have helped in that regard, because I think sometimes the enemy doesn't even need, we don't even need the enemy. Sometimes we, the church, don't do a good job ourselves. Amen. So let me show you where this all starts. This war between God and Satan. This where did it all begin? And in Genesis 3 verse 1, it says, now the serpent, speaking of the devil, was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God made. Now keep in mind, God made it. So the Lord said in Genesis 3 verse 14, and he's speaking to the serpent. This is after he deceived Eve into eating of the fruit in the garden that he told from the tree you're not to eat from. And Eve deceived, ate it. And by the way, Adam was not deceived, knowingly ate of that fruit. Are you hearing me? This is Genesis. This is called the doctrine of man and sin. This is 101 for salvation, understanding the need of a savior, because we have all sinned and we're all born in sin. Amen. Okay. So now God is going to deal with the enemy, and look what he says. It says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Now look, here's the part. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. In other words, out of Eve's offspring will come someone that actually there'll be enmity between her offspring, which ultimately know is Jesus. This is the very first prophecy in the Bible, the very first declaration of future events. And God says, devil, between you and her offspring, there will come someone and he will crush your head and he will strike, or if you like, he will bruise his heel. This is where it all starts. You catch this? And now we need to know what is God and what is the devil. And the only time in the Old Testament that I think about where there is what we would call in the New Testament church a deliverance, where someone has been set free of a demonic power, in the Old Testament, I couldn't find one scriptural example of a deliverance. But notice at the fullness of time when Jesus came, now all of a sudden we see Jesus as anointed by God at the age of 33, or at the age of 30, began his earthly ministry when the Spirit of God came upon him and he's casting demons out left, right, and center. Well, where were those demons before? They were there before, but now because God said, because I will put enmity between you, devil, and the seed of the woman, which is Jesus, now Jesus is declaring it is a war to be won in Jesus' name. The only verse I could loosely find in the Old Testament that speaks about a deliverance is when David, the Bible says, would play an instrument because Saul was vexed by an evil spirit. And when David played that instrument, the Bible said that evil spirit left him. By the way, that's why praise and worship in the church is so important. That is why filling your house with the presence of God and music brings the presence of God. So let me just go in the only, I reached out to my Bible scholars. I'm well read. I don't think I'm a poorly educated minister. I think I know my Bible. I think I know all the major subjects. I think I need to learn more. I'm fairly schooled, I think, when it comes to this subject. And I continue to be schooled in it. You don't want somebody who learned how to do liver surgery when he got his, MD license 20 years ago that's had no up-to-date training. You don't want somebody who what he learned 20 years ago with today's modern science and modern medicine operating on principles he learned 20 years ago. You don't want a pastor who just started his study and approved, for me in 1983. I've been continually open to learning from the Word of God, and my depth and my knowledge continues to get deeper and deeper. Are you hearing me? And we all got to be on that train. So, of course, I want to make sure I'm right. So I said, I'm preaching this subject to our church, and I asked some of the finest scholars that I personally know in the world, tell me, is there any example in the Old Testament of demonic manifestations in people? Because I don't see it in the New Testament. I see it everywhere, but I don't see it in the Old Testament. I can't find. The only one I can find is David and Saul. And one of these great Bible scholars showed me some verses that I had never seen before. How many thank God we haven't arrived at everything yet? He showed me something that, I got to tell you the truth, blew my mind about demonic manifestations in the Old Testament that manifested through people. I didn't know these verses. I'd read them, but I didn't understand. And we're going to make sure that these notes are available to you, because I don't have time to quote and refer to every scriptural reference. But I want you to think about these words. These are Old Testament examples I'm going to give you of where the devil manifested through a person in the Old Testament, and you tell me if it still isn't relevant for today. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not about man versus man, but against principalities and powers, about rulers of darkness. Are you hearing me? So if that is the devil in the Old Testament, when I read these words, you tell me if they're still not relevant today. In other words, the devil hasn't changed. What he was in the Old Testament, he still operates. He tries to operate in the New Testament. The only difference is we, the church, know that when Jesus went to the cross, he defeated the devil, and we are winners because of what he done. But the God, small g, of this world, you tell me if these words in the Old Testament still don't find themselves as relevant to today. Are you ready for this? You all ready for this? Okay, in the Old Testament, the word jealousy in Numbers chapter 5, verse 14 to 30, actually is an example of a demon manifesting himself in a person. Or if you like, feelings of jealousy. Dear God, isn't that still a work today that people struggle with? Here's another one, ill will or evil. It's an example in the Old Testament of a demon manifesting himself in a person. Judges 9:23. Listen to this one. Distress, 1 Samuel 16, is an example of a demonic manifestation in a person, and it's found in 1 Samuel 16:14. And listen to this one. Lying or deceiving, 1 Kings 22:22. Listen to this one. Perverse or distortion or dizziness. Dear God, do we live in a generation where we see people are distorted and dizzy and there's a perversity? We don't know male from female. We don't know. Listen to this. There's such confusion and conflict in our world today. Dizziness. We don't know who to trust. The devil would do everything he can to cause you to be dizzy. And it's an example of a demon working through a person in the Old Testament. I love this one. I don't love it, but it's an insight. Deep sleep. Isaiah 29, verse 10. In other words, I think to some regard, there are so many people asleep to what's really going on. in our world. And we just look at it in the eyes of flesh and blood, deep sleep. Another one, heaviness, fainting, and despair. And it says in Isaiah 61, verse 3, I want to tell you, that's the work of the enemy in the Old Testament through people with a demonic manifestation, a heaviness, despair. Are you catching this? Or another one, fainting. Or the last one is harlotry sounded Australian there, didn't I? Prostitution, a demonic manifestation. I'm not saying all everyone who's involved in prostitution has got a demon, but in this example, it was a demonic manifestation. Are you seeing that? Let me start by saying this, that I often think in the church, we can use deliverance as a cop-out for repentance. It's far easier to blame the devil for something than to look at our own lives. Are you hearing me? It's like the person who says, Pastor, I'm addicted to chocolate. Would you please cast a demon out of me so I'd stop eating so much chocolate? I'd be going, Spirit of Hershey's, come out. I can imagine the devil saying, I will for another piece of chocolate. And the truth is, maybe actually sometimes what we want to blame the devil for, we just need to get our flesh under control. Amen? It's like, I got a spirit of anger. Would you please cast the spirit of anger out of me? No. Why don't you figure out what's bothering your soul and learn to renew your mind and get control over your emotions? But then there's other times when the enemy is at work and we need this gift that's one of the 9 manifestation gifts. And so far we've talked about faith, healing, miracles, and prophecy. And here I am today wanting to talk to you about this manifestation gift of discerning of spirits. But here's the first challenge I face. My first challenge is, do we see the devil for who he really is? Because I actually think we've got a wrong understanding of who the devil is. Some people think the devil's some guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and, you know, big horns. And the Bible says that the devil can appear as an angel of light, as a servant of good. So we need to see him as what the Bible says versus what Hollywood portrays him versus maybe Harry Potter tries to portray sorcery and witchcraft. And we got so many people that want to tell us, I mean, Hollywood's so good at making the church look so emaciated, so weak, so anemic, so pathetic. And the devil, or the, you know, the all the horror movies, the devil's got all the power. And when the minister comes along, you know, he's got his holy water, and somehow he tries to throw his holy water out over the people. I did that over in the direction of our offices this morning, and I apologize if I wet you, praise the Lord. I deliberately walked right over there. Amen. I didn't see any demons come out of anybody, so that's good news. But Hollywood tries to portray that the church is emaciated, and yet nothing could be further from the truth. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are the head and you are not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. And yet everything of the world tries to tell you the exact opposite. To the point where we as believers don't even know our spiritual authority. We don't even know where our spiritual identity is. Tonight, I'm going to be teaching that to our men who gather here for the next 5 weeks, starting at 5 p.m. And that's the very first subject I want to be teaching. You got to know your identity in Christ. So let's go to the Bible. Let's not look at what somebody says about the devil. Let's not listen to somebody who was a warlock. Let's not go to somebody who was a Satanist. Let's not go to Hollywood. Let's not go to Harry Potter for our understanding of spiritual things. Let's go to the Bible and let's look at the devil, how the Bible tells us how we're to see the devil. There's a novel thought. What does the Bible say? Isaiah 14. Look what it says. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. That's why I believe mornings are of the devil. How many night people do we have here? Can I see your hands? Come on, night people, let me see your hands. There's not a lot of night people. Wait a minute, how many night people do we have? Let me see your hand. Okay, and this is the 11 o'clock service? That just doesn't make any sense. Okay, so look what it says here. You have been cast down to where? To hell? No, where does it say he's been cast down to? Earth. Notice it doesn't say you've been cast down to hell. God said, do not, he didn't say go straight to hell. Do not pass earth. Do not collect $200. He said, you've been cast down to the earth. Well, why did God put him on the earth? Why didn't he say, go straight to hell? Well, let's read on. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, look at all the amount of times the word I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly of the utmost heights of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend to the tops of the clouds. I, me. Take, Jake. My name's Jake. Gimme. My name's Jimmy. I will ascend above the stars of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. But you have been brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depths of the pit. And look now. Those who see you, we got to see the devil for how God tells us where to see him. Those who will see you will stare at you and ponder your fate. And this one that says, and we will say, is this the man who shook the earth and made kingdoms tremble? The Bible says when you see the devil for who he really is, you'll go, you got to be kidding me. That's the devil. That's the devil that tried to destroy my marriage. That's the devil that tried to destroy our nation. This is the man that made the nations tremble. This is the one that tried to put sickness on my body. That's the devil, the one that I was afraid of and live in fear and torment of. When you see him for who he really is, you're going to go, get out of here. That's the devil. We got to see him in the eyes of Scripture. Look at Ezekiel 28. Son of man, it says, take up and lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what he's saying to Lucifer. Okay, that was the devil's name when he was created by God, Lucifer. And this is what the sovereign Lord says. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You're in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone adorned you. And it says, your settings and your mountains were made of gold. And on the day that you were created, look at this, and were prepared. Look, the Bible tells me that God made Lucifer and that he was this guardian angel that oversaw the music in heaven. Are you hearing me? But you need to know something. God created him. So the devil is not sovereign if you've been created. If you've been created, you've got a start date. And God says, if I created you, I can take you out. Are you hearing me? God is sovereign, but Satan isn't. And it says, your settings and your mountings were made of gold. From the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed as guardian cherub. And so for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless on your ways from the days that you were created until wickedness was found in you. And through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you. I'm reading a lot of Bible here today. But look what it says. I drove you in disgrace from the Mount of God. I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. You became proud on account of your beauty and corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Watch. So I threw you to the to make a spectacle of you before kings. God put Satan on the earth because he knew that he declared in Genesis chapter 3 that I will put enmity between you, devil, and the seed of this woman, and out of her will come the Son of God, and he will crush your head and he will bruise his heel in the doing so. And Jesus has enforced, and we are here today to execute and enforce the judgment of God over the devil. He put on the earth to make a spectacle. Why are you running and afraid of the enemy when we see him? How the Bible tells us we're supposed to see him. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of thine enemies, that we might still the enemy and the avenger. The Bible says even a babe in Christ can actually still the enemy. In other words, it's not like you got to be a Christian for 50 years before you know your authority. The moment Jesus lives inside of you, you've got authority, but you've got to see him for who he really is. I'm a brand new Christian. I know nothing about the Bible. I know nothing about the Bible. I didn't even know there was an Old Testament and a New Testament. I didn't know the story of Noah. I'd never heard it. I knew nothing about the Bible. I grew up as a little boy in the Catholic Church. I learned bells and smells. And I'm not criticizing that, but I did not know Jesus in those years that I grew up in. Are you hearing me? And so I know nothing about spiritual authority, but I did know this. At the age of 17, I was tormented with fear. My parents were alcoholics. I grew up in a family of just a lot of pain, a lot of violence, a lot of police, a lot of blood on the walls, a lot of challenges in our family. And because of my own decisions and lifestyle and things that I had done, I found myself in a whole lot of trouble, which I hope and pray that our police officers today get encouraged that while they may be dealing someone like me back then, this is what can happen to them when Jesus comes into their lives. Amen. And so all that to say, I'm a brand new Christian and I had a demon riding the back seat of my car. And it used to scream at me. I mean, like really awful. I could see his beady eyes. It sounds a little weird, but I'm going, duh. And I used to say to people, hey, there's this demon riding the back seat of my car. I don't know what to do. And everybody thought, yeah, he's a new Christian. You know, he's just learning about the Bible. And he's obviously learning about Satan. And I go, no, really, this thing is in the back seat of my car. Well, finally, Sharon's in the car with me. And she wasn't quite my girlfriend because Sharon would never allow me to call her that. And she was smart in the doing so of that. And so we're in the car one day and all of a sudden, finally, this demon just screams in the car out loud, audibly. And Sharon goes, what the heck was that? I said, it's the demon I've been telling you about. It's been in the back. She goes, you can't have that riding around your car. I said, well, what do I do? She goes, pull the car over. I pulled the car over. She gets out of the car. I'll never forget it. She stood there and she goes, devil, I bind you. You leave him alone. Never come back again. Get out of here. It left. It never came back. All this time I've been riding with that thing. No one would believe me. Out of the mouth of babes, God has ordained strength. Can I say this to you? The enemy has no power over you except that which you give him. Are you hearing me? So let me just show you some scriptures here. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. I saw Satan fall from as lightning from heaven. Behold, I will give you authority. Look at this. Jesus speaking. Behold, I will give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means injure you. Colossians 2. He has disarmed rulers and authorities. He made a public display, spectacle of them, having triumphed over them through the cross. Matthew 8, verse 16, it says, when evening came, they brought him by the way of many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with the word, and he healed all who were sick. Mark 16, verse 9, now he had risen early in the morning of the first day of the week, and where he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out, watch this, seven demons. None of this is listed in the Old Testament, but because of the fullness of time, Jesus now, out of the seed of the woman, I will put enmity, devil, between you and her seed. Here is the seed of God, the Son of God, manifest in the flesh, and he cast out seven demons out of one woman. Luke 11, verse 20, but if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then you'll know the kingdom of God has come to you. Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all of creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, not your political point of view. Not mask, no mask, not vax, no vax. Go into the role of the church is to preach the gospel. Amen. And in my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in heavenly languages. They will pick up snakes with their hands. Not that I recommend that unless your name's Steve Irwin. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. For they will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. Now, let me just say this, and I know the music team's come, but I'm not done yet. So let me finish this, because I can't leave this half-baked. I've got to finish this message. Are you hearing me? So just hang in there for a minute. Thanks, guys. Just stay with me here. But I want to just finish this. The Bible says, James chapter 4, submit yourselves, it says, then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God, okay? Resist the devil and he will flee. So if the devil's not fleeing, you're not resisting. If the enemy's still coming in somewhere in your life, you're not resisting him. And we got to learn how to push back on the enemy. But sometimes we don't even know it's the enemy because we don't have a discernment of spirit of what this is. Oh, that's harmless. That's not really bad. I'll go on record, and I know people hate it when I do this, but I don't care. I'll go on record. There are some things you should never allow in your home and in your life. And there's things like horror movies. I'm not into it. I don't want to give the enemy. I'm going to resist that. I don't need fear, especially in my life where I grew up. I don't need that coming back in my life. And I don't want things of demonic shows coming into my home. And I know some of you are going to get, I know you're going to get mad with me, but it's okay. You can get mad with me all you like, but just read your Bible. Are you hearing me? Shows like Harry Potter, I think, really try to get us understanding a spiritual dimension of sorcery and witchcraft, which I think the Bible's very clear. Those things we ought to have no part of. So I just want to say it. I talk to young people all the time and they'll say to me, man, I'm depressed. And many of them, I'm suicidal. And the very first question I ask them is, what music are you listening to? And when they tell me, I go, no wonder. You got to resist the devil. And we don't even know when the devil comes along because he actually, the God of this world has blinded people and they don't even know they're feeding a dark side of their lives that the enemy loves. And listen, I grew up in a family where my life was filled with fear and uncertainty. My parents, both alcoholics. And so when I was 15, I went to a church just like this. And I remember we went there, my brother and I went there to laugh at this church. It was just like what we see today, what we do. And my brother had a bad knee. He actually had a blown out football knee and he needed a knee replacement. And he said, I'm going to go forward for prayer because we heard they pray for the sick. And he goes, I'm going to go forward for prayer and I'm going to pretend I got healed. And then I'm going to say, just kidding, not really. And I'm going to go, well, let's see if they pray for me if anything happens. So my brother goes to the front, completely blown out knee. And Gordon Gibbs prayed for him. And guess what happened? God healed his knee. What do you do when you're trying to mock and pretend you've been healed and then God heals you? He went, wait a minute. And he's wanting to say, just kidding. He went, I'm healed. That'll freak you out. And he was completely and totally healed in his knee. Then I was in the church and I just fell under the power of God. And they said to me, I'm saying words, foul words that have never come out of my mouth. And I could cuss the wallpaper off a wall before I was a Christian, but there was things coming out of me. I couldn't believe they're coming out of my, and they said, have you been playing with the Ouija board? And I'm telling you, it was a demonic manifestation of fear that got a hold of me. And how it happened was over time. And growing up in my family, I'm not blaming my parents. I'm just saying, I was ruled by fear. I couldn't do anything because of fear. And I got to tell you, it literally limited and restricted my life in a lot of ways. And you might look at me and think, well, he looked pretty bold and pretty confident. And that's only how I compensated the fear. I boxed and I loved boxing and I had no fear in a boxing ring. But let me tell you something. Put me in a room by myself and I was sure there was something under my bed. I would literally go catatonic and frozen, couldn't move. Fear would grip me. And the devil would rip me off. I couldn't walk by myself of a nighttime down the street. One night I was in the library, it got dark, I lost the track of time, and I was so scared I couldn't walk home. I literally had to get the taxi driver my watch that I just got for my birthday as the fare because I was so scared of walking home. It was not a natural fear, it was demonic. And now all of a sudden it is manifesting on the floor of a church at the age of 15. I was freaked out. And I said, I will never set foot in a church like that ever again. This is cultish. This is demonic. And I went, I will not. And then my friend at the age of 17 led me to Christ. I got to tell you, I was terrified. I did not ever want to experience what I experienced that ever again. I was freaked out. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How do we get victory over the enemy? How do we do it? Well, the Bible tells me you must first bind the strong man. Look at this verse. You must first bind the strong man. If we have it, let's put it up. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me find it in my iPad because I want to make sure I quote it. It says, Matthew 12, verse 29. If we have it, it'd be great. There it is. Or how can you enter a strong man's house? This is about that the devil has got a hold of someone's life. How can you enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? This is the Bible trying to tell you and I. This is going to give you some education of how to deal with the enemy. You cannot enter a strong man's house without first binding him. So the devil had a big stronghold in my life. It was called fear. I had to bind him. You hearing me? How do you bind? I said to this prayer counselor, listen, I love Jesus, but let me tell you what happened when I was 15. I don't ever want that ever happen to me again. It freaked me right out. Instantly, she goes, Steve, it won't. I think this is what you need to do. You need to get enough of the Word of God in you. And you need to keep coming to church regularly. I'm going to give you some Bible verses. I'm going to teach you how to have power over fear. She says, you come back and see me in a couple of months, and this is what I want you to do. See, I'm binding the strong man. I'm making myself strong. So when the time comes, and I finally came back for prayer, and I remember, she goes, you're going great, Steve. You've reading your Bible. You're studying. You know your authority in Christ. And now she says, Lord, I just thank you for that fear to be gone. It literally is like a weight. I knew what it was like to live with it, and I'm telling you, I know in that moment I got set free. It wasn't what happened to me when I was 15, because why? I first bound the strong man by getting the Word of God into me, prayer into me, and when the devil lost his stronghold, how? Because I submitted to God, I resisted the devil, and when you resist him and you submit to God, he has to flee. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Come on, anybody thanking God? I got to close. My time is up. I know I've gone long, but I want to finish this. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter 19, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So that through Paul, it says that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and illnesses were cured and evil spirits left them. That's a good thing to realize when we deal with COVID, that we can still just pray over things and send it to people and they can be healed in Jesus' name. Some Jews who went about driving out devils, because this is what we're talking about here, discerning your spirits, driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out of him. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day, an evil spirit answered them, and they said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? And then the Bible says, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on the seven sons of Sceva, overpowered them all, and it says he gave them such a beating that they, the seven sons of Sceva, ran out naked and bleeding. You see, my friend, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Right. But this one man possessed by the enemy had the strength to overpower seven. But I want you to notice this. It says, hey, Jesus I know, because they know what it was to be defeated by Jesus, because God put enmity between the seed and the woman. And Jesus came, crushed the head of the devil, devil's defeated. So you mention the name of Jesus, Jesus has authority over the enemy. Now, Paul, I know, because Paul actually knows who Jesus is. And Paul commands us to leave people because he knows the authority and he knows his identity in Christ. But now we come to you and we're going, you're just using the name of Jesus, but you don't have any spiritual authority. We don't see anything in your life that reflects the authority of Jesus. We don't see, you've got what we would consider borrowed faith. It ain't real in you. So who are you? And they beat the fool out of the seven sons of Sceva. My friends, we've got to know our authority in Christ. Can you say amen? So I gotta land the plane. Is this okay? Can you help me with it? He'll give me just two more minutes and I'm done. Two more minutes. So when it comes to discerning of spirits, firstly, this one of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, you need to know this is not the gift of critical appraisal of men and women. It does not enable you or I to analyze the motives and character of other people. Dear God, how many times have I heard somebody, I sense the Lord showing me this person's motives are wrong. This is not that gift. Right. It's not the ability to judge a person. It's the discerning of spirits, not of people. Right. Yeah. Are you hearing me? It is not a cover for curiosity, nor is it a license to criticize. In other words, it's not the gift of discerning of man, it is the gift of discerning of spirits. It is used in the ministry of deliverance, like the scriptures we read, to determine whether a person or not is tormented, is suffering from a physical affliction or from one that has a spiritual origin. Remember the time Jesus cast the devil out of somebody who was mute and then he was able to speak? But then there was another time when a man was blind. And the disciple said, Lord, whose sin was this? Was it his sin or his father's sin that he'd be born blind? And Jesus said, it was neither. It's just that the glory of God might be seen. We need discerning whether in dealing with somebody, actually, psychiatric hospitals are full of all sorts of people with mental health challenges. Not everybody in a psychiatric hospital has a demonic problem, but sometimes they do. And you can medicate all you want, but that medication will not fix a demonic problem. I remember years and years ago, I'll never forget this. There was a guy who got, I used to be in prison ministry for years. I went into prisons every week for years. I first gave my life to Jesus and I was all the time in prison ministries. There was one guy, he got out of prison and he was what no doubt a very dangerous man. And I mean this in all due respect. And I'm not just saying it because we have some police officers in the building. These police officers had dealt with this man and they said, this man's out of control. He walked into our church, he stuck a knife in his stomach and walked around wanting to just bleed out in front of everybody. Right before that, he set his girlfriend on fire in a caravan, locked her in the caravan, and they were rescued. He was in prison for good reason. He gets out of prison, gives his life to Jesus, and one time he was just doped up on drugs. He's still working out his salvation. And there was myself and there was Mark Hopkins and there was another person who was much smaller than Mark and myself. And this guy in prison, he jumped up on the hood of my car and he threw himself into my windshield and didn't break the windshield, but cracked it. And it was trying to rip open his head and the glass. And I'm going, get him off my car, get him off my windshield. And then the other people are going, no, no, he's got to stop doing that or he's going to get an artery and bleed out. And I'm going, yeah, and my car. Like I'm in shock over what's happening. So when the ambulance came, the ambulance said, we will strap this man, but we will not take him to any hospital because we've dealt with this guy so many times. He's so violent, he's actually broken out of the straps. They said, one of you, speaking to me, Mark Hopkins, and this other guy, said, has to come with us because we notice when he's with you, he calms down. So Mark and I both pointed to this guy called Gary Clark, who was the smallest of the three of us. Gary, this is your job. And Gary goes, why do you choose me? I said, because he likes you, Gary. Praise the Lord. Amen. You got this. You know what? Some things you can't deal with natural means. They are spiritual. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Jesus said, this is not a demonic problem. This is so the glory of God. Now this one, it is a, and we need to discern what's God, what's man, and what's the devil. All right, I know this is kind of like, it's recognizing false prophets. And it's also an assessing spiritual gifts. If someone prophesies, was that the Lord? Was that just a human being? Or was that the enemy? Amen. So I want to pray for people today because I realize this subject is powerful. I know that as I'm speaking about my own journey, about what happened to me when I was 15, some of you going, oh my gosh, I just need to know that God is with me and God's in control. There are some people here today, and Josh, for a minute, come up here and just tell people what you felt like in the earlier service because I want to pray for people about that.
Yeah, anybody appreciate the word from Pastor Steve this morning? I just felt stirred. Just as you were sharing, even in your own moments of dealing with the supernatural, and the Holy Spirit just put in my heart, there'd be people here in person and specifically online. And as Pastor Steve was talking about those things, it was like an eye-opening moment of even realizing, okay, this isn't, you said some things are not just dealt with in the natural. Yeah. And even this morning, you're realizing, okay, this thing maybe isn't natural. And maybe there is an attack of the enemy over my life. And the word that I kept at least sense the Holy Spirit was saying is people, you realize you're just being tormented by the enemy. And I believe as we pray today, you're gonna be set free.
Amen.
Set free from that torment of the enemy. And I love that you reminded us, you know, sometimes we just need to repent.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the case, but I do believe there's people here today and it's like a light bulb went off and it's like, I don't have to live with this darkness, with this heaviness, with this torment, and you can walk out of church today free.
Yeah, I love that verse in the Bible that says, when Jesus says, you know, when a devil comes out of a man, by the way, we believe all this. If you're in Wave Church, this is Bible. And this is what Jesus said. When a devil comes out of a man, when an evil spirit leaves a man, this is the words. When an evil spirit leaves a man, and we don't hear churches talk about this, but this is real. This is more real than the chair you're sitting on. It's a coexistent world that runs in a parallel world to the world we live in, our three-dimensional world. It says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes, it's gone. But then it'll come back and look to see if it's been filled with God or anything else. Because if it is, it has no ability to re-enter that person's life. But if that person hasn't filled themselves with the word of God, submit yourself to God versus the devil, he'll flee. It will bring back seven demons more worse than itself. And that's why me, when it comes to seeing people get set free, I want to make sure the first thing I hear, I say to people, listen, just keep coming to church. Get the word in you. Submit to God. Because when we deal with that, if you do starve buying the strong man, then you can take his goods. We can't take his goods till we first bind the strong man. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Some of you are like deer in headlights. What the flip is our pastor talking about? This is the twilight zone. Hey, my friends, this is real. And what Joshua, you feel like you've been under the torment of the enemy. And you today, when I said, when I got set free, that person just prayed for me, it was like a cloud. And you got enough of God in you, enough of the word, it's time. And God wants to set you free today. I want everybody to just close your eyes just for a minute. If you feel like you're being tormented from the enemy, and this word really has spoken it in, you say, Lord, I want that. I want to know my authority in Christ. I want that freedom. I want to tell you who the Son sets free is free indeed. If this message is speaking to you or anybody online, anybody at Norfolk, anybody at Seaboard, just lift your hand right now. You feel like there's some stuff going on that you realize even today from my teaching, this is demonic. This is not God. Lift your hand. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that He the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, Father. It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by your Spirit. And I just right now take a hold of the work of the enemy and I declare to devil today that you are defeated. We see you for who you really are. And the seed of the woman has crushed your head. And we thank you for our freedom that is in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for breakthrough. We thank you, Lord, for break freeing. We thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We thank you, Lord, for the finished work at Calvary. In the name of Jesus, amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Come on, let's give God some praise. Ah, oh, come on. In Jesus' name. And now I want to do one more thing, and I've gone long, but I, you know, how do you teach? After the first service, someone came up to me and says, Pastor, you didn't teach this. And I said, let me give you the microphone. You try and talk on this subject and say all the things you didn't teach when I listen to you. But that's why we have Bible schools. That's why we have other things. I want to encourage you tonight, men, be here, because I want to talk to you about your identity in Christ. It's going to be a great night. We're gathering all the men that want to come to us for the next 5 weeks, starting at 5 o'clock. And I want to encourage you to be here tonight, men. But tonight, right now, I want to pray for people who have not yet made a decision. Thank you for being patient. Look at me. Thank you for giving me a little bit extra time in this service. You are very generous. Some of you might be thinking, thank you. I just want to go home. All right. You're the people that need to listen to me the most right now. Can I pray for you if you don't know Jesus? Maybe you once gave your life to Jesus, but you know today you're not living for God like you once were. I want to pray for you that if you've never given your life to Jesus, I want to pray, if you've never had a personal encounter with Christ for yourself, I would love to pray for you. And I'm just going to ask everybody, this is the most important part of our service. And I'm going to ask you to stay with us and not to move, please, so that I can pray for people here. There'd be no distraction. If you say, Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, I want to come back to God. Look at me now. I'm talking the Norfolk. I'm talking the Seaboard Road. I'm going to ask you to look at me. When we close our eyes and we'll bow our heads, and I'm going to ask you to do one thing. I'm going to ask you to just lift your hand in the air high enough and long enough for me to see it. By doing that, you're saying to me, Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to come back to God. Who's believing with me that people are going to give their life to Jesus? Who believes at Wave Church that the greatest miracle that we see is the miracle of salvation? How many believe that? So I want to pray for you today, and at Seaboard, and at Norfolk, and everybody online. If you say, Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer. I want to come to God for the first time, or I need to come back to God. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And if that is you, and I am talking to you. Would you lift your hand right now all over the building? That's it. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting them. God bless you. Who else will lift your hand right now? High enough and long enough for me to see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. God bless you. Who else? God bless you. You say, Steve, include me in that prayer. God bless you. Who else? My last call. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Online, people are making decisions. In every campus, there are people making decisions. Right there, just there in front of the sound desk, I see your hand as well. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? That was a fast response. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know, church, you've clapped, but now this is the time to really thank God. People making that decision.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.